The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you very much. You have your Bible? Well, I want to ask you to turn to a passage this morning that many of you know very, very well. It is Psalm number 23. Psalm number 23. I'm excited about being here again this year for the Baptist Leadership Conference, and appreciate so much what you're doing here. Brother Wells leading the church and moving things forward, and through the Leadership Conference, not only have some influence here locally, but on others who come in and get hold of some things that they'll take back home and make work where they are. And we're excited for that. But I want to read a passage this morning that actually is the very first passage in the Bible that I memorized. When I was a boy in elementary school, my mother and dad were not in church at that point in time. But once in a while, just once in a rare occasion, I got to attend Sunday school at a little country church there in western Kentucky where I grew up. And the lady who taught the boys' Sunday school class was a lady named Mrs. Bertha Clark. Now, I don't know whether she ever taught anything else or not. Maybe she did. If she did, I didn't retain it. But she had us to memorize Psalm 23. And on any given Sunday, if you could quote even one verse of it, she gave away a stick of chewing gum. And at that point in my life, I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I did like chewing gum. So I worked on learning Psalm 23. And it has been a passage of great help and blessing to me. Now, before I read it, let me just apologize a little bit. My voice is a little ragged this morning for some reason. I've had allergies so far every day of my life. And once in a while, I get where I don't have them regulated real good. And that seems to be the case this morning. I don't think my voice is gone, but I just want you to know when I sound a little crazy, it's because I am a little crazy. But anyway, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now look again at verse number 6. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want you to look at that last word in verse number 6, the word forever. There are not very many things that are forever. Some of you drove in a nice, shiny car that you maybe just got paid for, or maybe you're still making payments on it. Now, it looks real good right now, and I don't want to pop your bubble, but I do need to tell you it won't last. Maybe 10 years from now, maybe 20 years from now, or wherever, somewhere down the road, it will be on the junk pile, and it will no longer function as an automobile. It won't last. The house you live in, it may shelter you from the storm today, but it will not last. It may be 50 years, it may be 100 years, It might last for even longer than that. But ultimately, that house will crumble. It will come down. It will not last because it's not forever. The meal that you plan to eat at lunch, what you ate at breakfast, it will not last. Brother Bachman took me to Dickie's and fed me last night after I got in. And very frankly, I'm excited about whatever we're going to do next because that did not last. I mean, almost everything that you know about, it doesn't last. But there are some things that are forever. For example, the Bible says forever, Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know, God who knows everything gets it right from the get-go. So he doesn't have to change it, amend it, adjust it. And so it's settled in heaven. And by the way, what's settled in heaven, you and I ought not to Mickey Mouse around with on earth. Not only that, but the Bible also says about the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is the Son of God is God the Son. He was in the forevers of the distant past. All of the eons, I mean, God who never had a beginning, all of the distant eons of the past, and God who is the God of the future and all of the eons of the future, he is forever. So there are some things that do last. The salvation that we receive when we come to Christ is also a forever salvation. If you think you got saved on a Sunday, but you did something that you shouldn't have done on a Monday, and somebody told you, oh, whatever you got on Sunday, you lost it on Monday. If that's the case, what you got on Sunday did not come from God, because what God gives on Sunday, you don't lose on Monday. God's salvation is secure, and it is a forever proposition. And the reason that I know that, the Bible says, he that believes on the Son hath ever lasting life. Amen. Everlasting would be like forever. Amen. So the salvation that you and I need is the forever salvation that God gives. Amen. When you and I talk about forever, I do need to tell you there's bad news and there's good news. The bad news is there is a bad side, a dark side, a wrong side to forever, in that everybody lives and everybody's going to die unless the horn of heaven sounds. If God sounds the trumpet, then we'll all get out of here without dying. But typically, it is appointed unto a man once to die. You're not going to live forever. You may want to take a note of the obituaries in the local paper. I look at those that appear in our paper in our city of Murfreesboro in Tennessee. They clip them out for me and put them on my desk every morning. And I notice a lot of them are people in their 40s and 30s and 50s and 60s. People that are not old, but yet they have expired. So you never know. You never know when people are going to die. People do die. They will die. You're not going to last forever in that regard. But that's just the body that you live in. See, it's you that lives in the body. When I look at your body, I'm not really looking at you. You are inside the body. The body that you live in is only the house that you are temporarily inhabiting. Right. One of these days, the body will collapse, but you will live somewhere forever. And in that forever somewhere, there is a dark side, a bad side, a wrong side, a place to which you do not want to go. The Bible calls it hell. Now, the world talks about hell a lot, but they use it as a cuss word. They act like it doesn't exist, but I notice they reference it a lot. Now, the fact is, hell is a real place. Whenever I got on the airplane in Nashville yesterday, I looked at the board. I had tickets that said I was coming to Dallas. Why are you coming? Well, Dallas is a real place. It's a real place. It's not some imaginary fairy tale. But I got on the plane. I came to Dallas. The fact is, hell is a real place. Just as real as Dallas, just as real as Nashville, just as real as any place you've ever been or heard of. But it's not a good place. It is a place of suffering, agony, fire, darkness. It is a place that I really think nobody in their right vein of thinking, nobody would really want to go there. I mean, if you had the opportunity to take 1 60-second peek into hell, I have an idea you'd say, I don't want a vacation there. I don't want to take a holiday there. I don't want to go there. I certainly do not want to go there forever. But yet the Bible makes very clear that those who die without a Savior have only one place that they can go, and that's hell. You say, well, God's pretty awful about that. No, God is just in that regard. You see, you and I have a tendency to take sin lightly. It's kind of like surgery. If you're having surgery, I'll call it minor surgery, but if I'm having it, it's major surgery. And we think about sin, and if we do it, it's not all that bad. Now, if somebody else does it, it's a pretty big deal. But when God looks at sin, He says, we're not bringing that into heaven. And so the only way you and I can get our sin record erased is by pacifying the demands of God. And God says that the wages of sin is death. And you and I mean, if we wait until we die, then we can't pay the debt. And so God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on our behalf, take care of the debt, make it possible for us to be paid up with God, even though we had the debt that we couldn't handle. And to make it possible so we don't have to go to the place of suffering and heartache and burden. I mean, you think about all of the despicable characters that you've ever heard of in history. I mean, all of the madmen, the cutthroats. I mean, all of the terrible people that you can think about. I mean, the Hitlers and whoever else. And imagine spending eternity side by side next door to people like that forever and ever and ever and ever and never getting free from it. That's what hell is like. So there is a dark side, a bad side, a wrong side, a side to which, you just don't want to go there. But there is also a bright side and a right side to eternity, and the Bible calls that heaven. Heaven is the place about which Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So heaven is the place where God lives and dwells and where He has total control. So when you get to heaven, you won't have to have a bodyguard walking down the streets down Hallelujah Boulevard in heaven. You won't have to have a bodyguard there, because God's already sealed out all of the trash and junk and stuff that goes on. There'll be no drive-by shootings in heaven. There'll be nobody doing damage to little children and abusing women and other such things. There'll be none of that. None of that. None of that. None of that in heaven. None at all. Because heaven is germ-free. There'll be no disease there. There'll be no more cancer, no more heart attacks, no more of any of the awful disease things that happen in this world. There'll be none of that. And there'll be no more death. I've buried a lot of family members. My dad, my mother, my father-in-law, my mother-in-law. I conducted funerals for all of them. My grandparents, and while I was pastor literally for hundreds and hundreds of people that I dearly loved, it suited me just fine if I never had to make another trip with a hearse to a cemetery. Pastor, while I was still in Maryland at the church, one summer, I'm talking about while school was out, literally from about the 1st of June to the 1st of September, One summer, I went to a cemetery five separate times with one of my families, and we had a little short casket. A little baby either stillborn or died a day or two into its life five times in one summer. Now, families who have to do that, it's heartbreaking. But let me tell you something. As a pastor, as a friend, to walk into those cemeteries within a matter of weeks, five separate, I mean, that does not include the older people I buried during that time and other people, I mean, other funerals that we had during that time. I'm talking about five little babies' caskets in a matter of 8 or 10 weeks. I would be just as happy if never, ever again did I have to do that. Well, news flash, when we get to heaven, there won't be any more of that. That'll all be over and done. Never have to fear the grim reaper again. The Bible says the last enemy that should be destroyed is death, but it will be done at heaven's door. We think about heaven, and we know the Lord's making ready that place and preparing it. It's going to be a place where we will be rewarded. You're serving the Lord, doing what's right, there'll be rewards for that. Once in a while, some of us in our attempts to be humble, we'll say, "Well, no, I just want to go to heaven. I'm not, come on, cut it out. Quit trying to rewrite the Bible." The Lord said He would reward us, and it's not up to us to do some superficial humbleness and say, "Well, no, I don't want to be rewarded." Hey, listen, you think about the goodness of God. He's promised to reward us. You and I need to get in line and take it. I understand we'll give them back. I understand that. But heaven's going to be a place of reward. It's going to be a place of rejoicing. Just yesterday, I had lunch with a couple of members of my family, and Betty and a couple other members of my family, and some of our staff at the Sword who were working on the grounds there yesterday doing some volunteer work. And so I told them, I said, "Why don't you all go with me and Betty, and we'll go to lunch, and I'll buy lunch for everybody." And we went to this little place where Betty and I eat lunch there every day, about two blocks from the Sword offices. there was, I think it was seven or eight of us. And we got us a table, and we sat around there, and we were eating the good food and just laughing and talking and cutting up. I mean, I saw other people in the restaurant kind of eyeing us, trying to figure us out. I mean, we weren't unduly noisy. We were just having a good time. One day this week, might have been Tuesday, Betty and I in the same restaurant. There was a little line. We were waiting to place our order. And she and I were just chattering, you know, we kind of had a little bubble created around us. We weren't paying attention to anybody else. We were just paying attention to each other. But we were laughing and having a good time. The guy behind us looked at us. He said, "How long you guys been married?" And when I told him, his eyes bugged out on stems. And I've got you wondering too, you know, it's been more than 2 weeks, I'll tell you that. When I told him that we'd been married 56 years, you say, "How in the world is that?" Well, I was only three when she married me. But the guy looked at us. I mean, I don't know whether he thought we were a bunch of old dudes or what, but he said, "You all are having a good time." Now, you know, we get together with family. We get together here at church. I mean, we ought to have some of that sweetness. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, there won't be any hurt feelings. You won't be having to tiptoe around. One of the members of the family is a little upset about it. Nah, there won't be any of that. All of that's going to be over and done. It's going to be a place of rejoicing that is so good it will make all these little times when we're having a good time, it'll make it seem like almost nothing in comparison. It is a place of rejoicing, and it's a place where we're going to get to live. We're going to be able to take up residence, permanent residence in heaven. You know, no little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. No. That, I mean, I'm not fussing at the song. I mean, I guess it's okay. But it's not a scriptural song. That doesn't make it okay then, does it? Anyway. No. The Bible says we got mansions in heaven. I drive through town and see some of the places that, in fact, there's a house being built probably about a mile from where Betty and I live. I mean, it is a huge thing. I'm guessing a couple $1 million worth. Now, I drive by and look at it and I say, wow. Well, let me tell you something. We get to heaven, we're gonna have some pretty good digs. I mean, we're gonna have a nice layout. You know, you're not gonna be living in some little tight quarters. Now, folks, there is a dark side to eternity, and there is a bright side to eternity. Now, one more side, and it's what I call the life side to eternity. See, we're not there yet. We're still here. We got life. This is the now side. And the Bible tells us if you want to miss the bad side, the dark side, and if you want to get to the right side, you want to miss hell, go to heaven, you got to do something about it while you got life. Because when your ticker stops, there won't be anybody able to count the beads and say the prayers and get you out of the bad place. There won't be any coming back on that. No, once your heart stops beating, the choice will be made. When I went into the airport yesterday, I mean, I looked up on that board. I could have gone to any number of cities. I could just walk in and said, give me a ticket to Dallas. Give me a ticket to San Francisco. Give me a ticket to Seattle. They got all kinds of flights going all day long. But whenever you die, what you have done while you're living will determine, and it will already be determined, your ticket will already be set and sealed. The moment you die, you'll either go to hell or you go to heaven, one or the other. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord if you're saved. So you go to heaven. So what we do here on the life side, that is before we get to eternity, while we've got life, what we do while we've got life will determine whether we're going to the bad place in hell or to the great place in heaven. Now folks, let me tell you the good news. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ has already bought and paid for your salvation. He's already made it possible for you to go to heaven on His tab. You know, when we walked into that restaurant last night, Brother Bachman said to me, he said, you order whatever you want. Now, I took him seriously. I ordered exactly what I wanted, and he was washing dishes half the night. No, he paid for it. Don't you love it when somebody else pays the bill? And listen, you and I have a sin debt that we could not pay in 1,000 lifetimes. And the Lord Jesus has paid our sin debt. Now, if we bow up our back and say, I'm not going to take it, I'm not going to take it, I'm not going to take it, then we don't get it. Because see, he offers it to us as a free gift, and he wants us to receive it. He wants us to say, I believe what you did at the cross and in your resurrection, paid that debt and satisfied God the Father. I believe that, and I'm willing to trust that, and I'm going to risk it all on that. I was out in the San Francisco Bay Area a few months back, and I know San Francisco's a place that's got a lot of things bent wrong. But that whole Bay Area is one of the most scenic spots in America. Amen. And the Golden Gate Bridge is one of the finest feats of engineering in all the world. I've been there many times. I've stood on both sides of that bridge. I've stood on the San Francisco side. I've stood over there on the Marina County side. I've stood there many times, just look, snap pictures. I've watched people go back and forth across on that bridge. And you know, I can stand here today and tell you, I believe in bridges. I believe in them. I've seen them. I see the Sunshine Skyway. I see the George Washington Bridge. I see the one that goes across into Canada from Detroit. I've been across all of them. But I believe in bridges. I know they're there. Somebody did a good job. They built it. I could stand there all day and watch other people cross on those bridges and say, hey, man, it's good. It's working for him. But I haven't trusted that bridge at all until I get in my car and drive up on it. And at that point, I'm not just believing that it's there. I'm not just believing, say, well, yeah, that's probably a good thing. Or, man, it's working for others. But at the point where I trust that bridge, I'm telling you, the San Francisco Bay, Sunshine Skyway in Florida, if that thing collapsed on you and you fell into the bay, you'd be history. But guess what? I've crossed them many times. Trusted them. Risk everything on the bridge. A lot of people look at God and they say, well, yeah, I know there's a God there. Or they'll say, well, yeah, I see Jesus died on the cross. But they haven't come to a point where they say, I have a sin debt. I need it paid. I need my account settled. And I'm willing to risk it and trust him to settle my account. And I'm going to risk it all on him. He wants us to trust him. And dear friend, this morning, you came here and you heard the choir sing about forever, forever, and Brother Palmore and I had not agreed. I about had a spell when they started singing about forever, 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 because I knew what I was about to get up here and do. And you know, the fact is, forever is forever. And it is coming. And when you die, you'll either go to the bad place because you don't have a Savior, or you go to heaven because you have a Savior. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to invite you this morning to the Savior. I want to, on the authority of this blessed book, tell you that if you're willing to trust him, he will save you, forgive your whole sin debt, and he'll reserve a place for you in heaven when you die. Stand up with me, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.